City Talk. Talk rock, sport and talk for Liverpool. This is Liverpool Live with Mick Coyle. Radio City Talk.
It's just gone 5 o'clock. My name is Mick Coyle, and tonight on Liverpool Live, the city, the region, the world reflects on a 27-year fight to get justice for the Hillsborough 96.
It was just an amazing, clean result by the jury. They believed good, honest people, and I'm just thinking of all the people who never got to see this day, John Glover and Williams.
It was just unbelievable. People were crying and looking at each other as if to say, you know, is this actually happening?
I was absolutely crying, but also praying at the same time. And I just prayed to James and the other 95. Please, God, son, I want you to sleep well for the first time. I want you to rest in peace now without seeing your mum's anger.
I'm absolutely elated. I will go tonight where our son's ashes have been placed in St Luke's Church in Bournemouth, and I'll just play You'll Never Walk Alone to him.
People can go out and realise now that it wasn't the fans' fault, and we fought for 27 years to do that, and today we've got it. We've finally got it.
A monumental day for everybody involved. At 11 o'clock this morning, the families of those who lost their lives received the news that they had been waiting for, that the 96 fans were not responsible for the tragedy. Indeed, they were unlawfully killed. We can cross live to our reporter, Louisa King, in Warrington, who witnessed these momentous events. Louisa.
Well, it's been an extraordinary emotional day here in Warrington, a real sense of relief all round, as the families of the 96 can finally say they've got justice for their loved ones. The question they really wanted to know the answer to was question six. Were the 96 unlawfully killed? The answer was yes. Also, were the fans to blame in any way for this disaster? The answer was no. There were cheers and tears in the courtroom, even cries of hallelujah. The families then stepped out to see the crowded media pack outside, who broke out themselves into a spontaneous round of applause. It shows the huge amount of respect that these journalists have for these families over their 27-year fight. Then the families themselves broke out into a song. What's that song? Of course, it's You'll Never Walk Alone. It's been a long 2 years, much longer than anybody here anticipated these inquests would take. I was here on the first day, I was here when the jury retired to consider their verdicts, and I'm here today. And it's been an absolute privilege to be on this journey with these families. Now they can finally take their loved one's soul back home, knowing that they've got justice for them.
Louisa King reporting there. We're continuing to bring you coverage from Warrington and we'll stay on air until 7 o'clock. We started on air at 11 a.m. Louisa there expressed her own opinions on what she has witnessed in the courtroom for the last 2 years. Of course, no one can tell us what today means more than the families themselves, and we can now take a listen to them here at Radio City Talk and to listen to what life has been like for those who lost their loved ones on the 15th of April 1989.
I could never comprehend how he walked in through a turnstile and ended up dead in a gym within an hour and 10 minutes. And all I ever wanted to know and all I ever wanted to do was piece those pieces of the jigsaw all together and just know his story. It didn't matter how hard the details were or how traumatic it was going to be. I needed to know, and I know that now. And, you know, obviously, the downside to that is my dad should still be here. His cause of death is different to, you know, other people's. And I feel that he was massively, massively failed, as were, you know, everybody else. But I think it's going to be quite hard to digest that, you know, my dad was alive for a lot longer than was suggested, and he was actually unconscious and not dead.
The emotions have been absolutely phenomenal. We came to court this morning. You could see the hope and the expectation in people's faces, and, you know, people were holding hands, hugging each other, wishing each other luck. But when the questionnaires started to get read out, and each point was in our favour, it was just unbelievable. People were, you know, crying and looking at each other as if to say, you know, is this actually happening? You know, there was a few whoops and hollerings at the end, but I think the families have held themselves with such dignity over the last 2 years of these hearings. I think that was allowed today, and we're pleased at the outcome. It was much better than we ever thought. Mike's always been a number. You know, he was body number 72. He was one of the 41. He was one of the 96. And I've said it all along. Michael was my brother. He was my mother's son, and I'm going to bring him home with me tonight, and then, you know, perform my own little personal ceremony for him over the next couple of days, and take him back to his mother.
I can't accept the apology in any way, shape, or form. What I can only hope for is that the judicial system in this country and those who run the police forces get to grips with the South Yorkshire Police, because they've been out of touch with reality. You cannot have police officers or a police force out of touch or committing crimes, attempting to pervert the course of justice. And that's exactly what they've done in trying to paint Liverpool supporters in the worst possible way. And what subsequently followed from that day was a tirade of accusations against Liverpool supporters. Wholly unacceptable. Those people involved in that were born liars, and they were involved in an attempt to pervert the course of justice. Today, that case and the truth has come to the surface, and Liverpool supporters and those who lost their lives on that day, it's been shown they were unlawfully killed, and it should never, ever have happened.
Andrew went to a football match. Andrew didn't even support Liverpool, he supported Tottenham Hotspur. How ironic is that? Andrew didn't come back. I went there in the evening to try and find out what had happened to him. I did not want his mother and father to have to identify him if it was going to be a case of identifying him. I didn't want his mother and father to have to do it. And I ended up coming across four coppers who were sat there with their helmets on the floor, sat in a square, dead bodies all around them in body bags. And these four coppers were laughing. The lack of respect that represents is beyond belief. We owe a right to the public, we owe a right to the people, to the city of Liverpool, to the people of this country who treasure the concept of justice, and finally, in some measure, it has been delivered.
The families, when they lost their loved ones, ended up having to look for money more or less straight away to defend. That there was nothing to defend, but we had to do it. The police got paid for. They had so many barristers against our one. Yeah. But we had to pay for that one. We didn't kill our kids. Yeah. They didn't go to a football game to be killed, but we had to pay. Then after the verdicts, we had the coroner add an insult to injury, saying to us, if you'd like to send £3, you will get your death certificate. Now that was insult to injury. I remember going home and writing a letter to that coroner, Dr. Stephen Pop, and saying to him, I'll pay anything for my son's death certificate with the right verdict.
You'll appreciate that this is a very emotional day, and the family member who is going to read the next part has asked that somebody else read it, so I'm going to do that. I'm Mark George. I'm one of the barristers in the team for the 22 families. One of the worst aspects for the bereaved families, and indeed those who survived the disaster, often with severe injuries and psychological damage, is that the supporters have been so vilified in the last 27 years. They've been accused not only of causing the disaster, but of impeding the rescue effort by abusing and urinating on emergency services. They were accused of stealing from the dead. All of this was untrue, wickedly so. The attack on the supporters by the South Yorkshire Police and others, their attempt to blame the supporters for causing the disaster, perverted the course of the original inquests. It should not have happened again, yet it did. Drunken, late, ticketless fans. Reference to Heysel and hooliganism by the police lawyers. What did they have to do with Hillsborough? Absolutely nothing. It was a fiction. Smoke and mirrors created to excuse the police and the failures of others. A shocking series of lies designed to pervert the course of justice. On the jury's conclusion, the supporters have finally and definitively been vindicated. The police should never have advanced these allegations, and they should not have been left to the jury by the coroner. But at least the hijacking of the process to determine what went wrong has finally been put to rest. Blaming the supporters was cowardly and dishonest. It caused untold distress to the bereaved families and to survivors, themselves traumatised and damaged by the disaster. In 1989, parts of the media slavishly reported that hooliganism was responsible as fact. In 2016, a free press must acknowledge that and put it right.
A sense there from the thoughts of the families and those representatives of the families who lost loved ones on the 15th of April 1989. The jury were asked to answer 14 separate questions, and two key questions that have really grabbed the headlines today. One was just referred to there, the behaviour of the supporters on the day. Was there probably any behaviour on the part of football supporters which caused or contributed to the dangerous situation at the Leppings Lane turnstiles? The jury were asked that question. They replied that no, it wasn't down to the behaviour of the supporters. Question six was even more important, though, the determination on unlawful killings. Are you satisfied, the coroner had asked the jury, so that you are sure that those who died in the disaster were unlawfully killed? He'd asked them to be satisfied if they were to say yes to that, that South Yorkshire Police Chief Superintendent David Duckenfield was responsible for manslaughter by gross negligence of those 96 people. The jury replied yes, that the 96 had been unlawfully killed. An incredible mixture of emotion among families, and that's been echoed across the world, and particularly in the city of Liverpool. Well, our reporter Roisin Hastie has been speaking to people gathering at the Anfield Memorial.
What's your name?
My name's Mark Knowles.
And what's your name?
Leighton.
Leighton. And why have you come here today?
We've just been watching on the telly, and before we come down and show our respects, because it's obviously a big day for Liverpool Football Club and the families, but he's asking me questions about it, so just thought I'd come down and show him and show our respects and stuff like that.
And tell me, Leighton, what you've just done.
Put my top there.
You lay your Liverpool shirt down in front of the memorial. And do you understand why it is that you've done that?
Yes.
Why?
Because all the people died and when he was watching it.
How does it feel knowing that the 96 have got justice today?
Excellent. I feel emotional but not sad, more happy, because you know the truth's out now, isn't it? And all them scumbags who lied, and you know, they've all been found out now, the truth's out.
And you think it's important for your little boy to grow up knowing about Hillsborough and knowing about the 96?
Yeah, definitely. It's massive, isn't it? It's going to be... no one's going to forget it. It's going to be there for the rest of our lives and for generations and generations. So, you know, if he knows as much information as he can about it, then he can tell his kids about it and carries it on, doesn't it? We won't forget them.
How old is he?
He's five.
Justice for the 96. Justice for the 96. Justice for the 96. Justice. For the 96 does this.
Do you know what? We've just been saying then, it's lifting something bit by bit as the minutes are going by. It's actually hitting me that we've got it, that it's not the fans. You know, that people can go out and realise now that it wasn't the fans' fault. Do what you like in the certain newspapers and on the television and everything else. It wasn't our fault. And we fought for 27 years to do that. And today, we've got it. We've finally got it.
When you heard that they had come to that decision, the unlawful killing, what did that feel like?
Very, very emotional. Very emotional. As I was standing here looking at it on my phone, and as they're reading each one out, and especially the unlawful killing, that feeling. That's immediately I just thought of the families. And I just thought, that's for them. That's for the 96. That's for the families. And the sun's out, look at the sun, look, they're up there. Justice for the 96, and they're out there saying, thank you very much, that sun's so bright in the sky now.
I come down, every time I come to Liverpool, I always pop to see. And looking at it today, you can smile, knowing that we got justice.
Does it feel different today, being here, and seeing this tribute to the 96?
Yeah, I can smile today, I feel, but I've still got a lump in my throat, you know, that I could just burst out crying.
How did you feel before when you'd have come here?
I just used to read everything that was written down and have a little tear, and, you know, I felt sad then. but I do. I can smile talking now. You know, and I haven't got that sad look on my face. Yeah, we've done it justice.
You can probably hear St. Lee in the background there, the sound of bells chiming out across Liverpool. Now, from 6 minutes past three this afternoon, they're chiming out 96 times to mark this monumental date for victims of the Hillsborough disaster, as the jury in the new inquest have ruled that they died unlawfully at the disaster back in 1989. Just one of the many signs of respect being marked in Liverpool today as those inquests come in. People listening to these bells ring out, knowing that they mean one thing: justice has been served for the 96.
Our reporter Roisin Hasty, who spent the day in Liverpool. Before that, we were hearing from the families in Warrington. Still to come on Radio City Talk, more from a monumental day here in the city of Liverpool, a day which will send shockwaves around the world as it's ruled that the 96 were unlawfully killed. We'll hear from what's happened at Hillsborough Stadium today, from South Yorkshire Police and beyond. We'll hear from Michael Mansfield, QC. And now we know absolutely that the fans were in no way to blame. Who was? MPs are also demanding answers. We'll come to that too. It's Radio City Talk.
Radio City Talk. Liverpool Live. This is Radio City Talk.
21 minutes past five. Good evening. My name's Mick Coyle. This is Liverpool Live, a special extended edition on a monumental day for the city of Liverpool and beyond. The Hillsborough inquests are now complete. We know now that the 96 were unlawfully killed, and supporters and their behaviour on the day did not play a part in the deaths of the 96. We'll be on air until 7 o'clock tonight as we continue to bring you all the reaction to what has happened in Warrington today. 96 deaths, 766 injuries on that day on the 15th of April 1989. We've heard from the families who lost their loved ones. 37 teenagers died that day, 26 parents died, and 58 children lost a parent. For more than 2 years, 292 days worth of evidence has been heard at Birchwood Park in Warrington under Sir John Goldring. Considering those 96 deaths within the context of stadium safety, preparation and planning, events of the day and emergency response, today it was ruled that the 96 were unlawfully killed. Of course, that's got knock-on impacts in Warrington, in the city of Liverpool, and of course over in Sheffield. And there's been scenes over at Hillsborough Stadium we can reflect on now as the news of the verdict started to spread. We had a reporter, Ben Basin, who has spent the day there.
Behind me is where 96 Liverpool fans lost their lives 27 years ago, crushed to death at the Leppings Lane end of the ground. There's a stone memorial to those who died here, draped with scarves and flags, and people have one by one today been approaching it, laying flowers and taking a moment to reflect on the loss. The wounds of this tragedy still run deep in this part of Sheffield. Well, today's verdict prompted reaction from many of the bodies and agencies at the centre of the investigation. This is what South Yorkshire Chief Constable David Crompton had to say.
I want to make it absolutely clear that we unequivocally accept the verdict of unlawful killing and the wider findings reached by the jury in the Hillsborough inquests. On the 15th of April 1989, South Yorkshire Police got the policing of the FA Cup semi-final at Hillsborough catastrophically wrong. It was, and still is, the biggest disaster in British sporting history. That day, 96 people died and the lives of many others were changed forever. The force failed the victims and failed their families. Today, as I have said before, I want to apologise unreservedly to the families and those affected. These inquests have been the longest inquests in British legal history, with nearly 300 days of evidence having been heard. Whilst these have been lengthy and difficult proceedings, they have once and for all provided a fresh opportunity to explore all of the available evidence about what happened. This has enabled the jury to reach the verdicts that they have today. The Hillsborough disaster changed the way in which major sporting events are policed, and many lessons have been learnt as a result. Today, with improvements in training, communications and technology, it's almost impossible to imagine how the same set of circumstances could arise again. We will now take time to carefully reflect on the implications of the verdict. We recognise that this is an important day for the families of those who died at the Hillsborough disaster and for everyone affected by what happened. They have waited 27 years for this outcome. Our thoughts are with them.
That's the Chief Constable of South Yorkshire Police. We'll do a little bit more on South Yorkshire Police in just a few moments' time. A statement has emerged, though, from the Bassett Law Labour MP, John Mann, who's close to Sheffield. He said that South Yorkshire Police should now be disbanded. Nobody should prejudge, he says in a statement, ongoing inquiries into the police, but whatever conclusions they reach, the credibility of the institution of South Yorkshire Police has been irreparably damaged. It needs a new identity and, more importantly, a new ethos and ethics. South Yorkshire Police should be disbanded. There are many hard-working police officers and staff currently working for South Yorkshire Police who have joined in recent years. They deserve a fresh start. We heard in the press conferences held after the inquest returned their determinations and their conclusions. Family members calling for the Chief Constable of South Yorkshire Police to step down. Of course, people have been fighting the fight at all sorts of different levels. We've been spending a little bit of time with a couple of local MPs whose names and voices you will know very well. Our reporter Dave Eason has been speaking to MPs Steve Rotherham and Andy Burnham.
Well, great to see both of you. But first of all, reactions on what has been a monumental morning.
Well, it's been a long time coming, but to have witnessed those scenes in the courtroom when question six was announced, or the verdict of question six was announced and it was unlawful killings, I think will stick with me for the rest of my life.
The question I'm asking is, how did something so simple take so long? You know, this should have happened 27 years ago. And you look at those families lined up in there, you look at the toll this has taken on them, and you do feel angry about that. You know, lies told for years and years and years, when actually they could have had the truth way back in those days. And you know, you can't help but feel that today, and feel it for all those who aren't here to see it, people like Anne Williams. You think about all of that today. But anyway, finally, justice for the 96, justice for all Liverpool Football Club supporters.
And going back to that moment of you stood in front of a full cop at Anfield and making those comments, did you really think you'd get to this point?
No, but I knew I had to be there. I couldn't have not attended. I knew it was going to be difficult, but with this man on my side here, who's helped me all the way through, we've done it together these last 7 years. We've tried to support the families in whatever way we could, and you know, politicians let them down, everybody let them down, but we were just determined that that wasn't going to happen again. They've been let down too much. So no, this exceeds anything we could have expected, but it's only what they deserve. This is justice for them. Their loved ones tonight, for the first time in 27 years, can rest in peace.
I mentioned 7 years since that moment, I mean, and 27 years since the disaster itself. What have you seen as MPs? What have you had to battle through?
Well, I remember the long, lonely days of trying to collect signatures so that I could go to the backbench business committee to fight for a debate in Parliament. And some people were very forthcoming with their support and others less so. I remember a Tory MP trying to curtail the actual debate in Parliament and getting over that hurdle. And then I remember, of course, the debate, which I think started to turn the tide of public opinion, because it was so overwhelming that the evidence was there and that people weren't listening to that evidence. And, of course, just a year after that, the Hillsborough Independent Panel report came out and left no doubt in anyone's mind as to the truth of Hillsborough. So, very, very long journey, but truth 2012 for everybody to see, even though we knew it on day one. And justice, I think, today after 27 years, comes 1 week and 4 days.
Right, Steve, and now comes accountability, doesn't it?
Has it.
Now comes accountability. Disgracefully, slurs have been thrown around in this courtroom about supporters of Liverpool Football Club. Disgracefully, the cover-up has continued in this courtroom. Disgracefully, public money has been spent on those lies and putting these families through hell once again. I find that completely unacceptable. People must be held to account for their actions. Prosecutions must follow this verdict.
It would be interesting to see what happens in regard to, for instance, last time there were a number of organisations that apologised and soon withdrew their apologies. We get the same apologies again from those same organisations. They were hollow last time, and why would we accept it this time? And so Andy's right about the accountability. That's what we now will be asking in Parliament tomorrow for the next stage of this, and that's those really responsible to be held accountable.
Well, Mick, there you go. That's the thoughts there of the two MPs who've been vital in the support of the 96 to get this. I mean, you can only trying to remember, 7 years ago Andy Burnham stood in front of at that packed COP at Anfield, and he didn't have to do it. Like you said, he didn't have to say what he said. He probably didn't think he could come up with the goods, but he really did, didn't he? And look where we are now.
Dave Eason reporting from Warrington there. I've got a statement through from the investigators who are working on a separate investigation to the Hillsborough inquest at the IPCC. They are the Independent Police Complaints Commission and Operation Resolve. The deputy chair of the IPCC, in a statement to Radio City Talk, says, "Now the inquests have ended, our role in providing documents and other material to support the coroner is over. However, the end of the inquest does not mark the end of the process. Our attention now focuses on concluding our criminal investigation into the aftermath of the disaster. This is by far the biggest and most complex investigation ever undertaken by the IPCC." She goes on to say, "We have made significant progress on the investigation, and we continue to work closely with Operation Resolve and the Crown Prosecution Service to pursue our remaining lines of inquiry as quickly and as thoroughly as possible. I anticipate we will conclude the criminal investigations by the turn of the year." I'm well aware now we're in the end of April. When we mentioned there the turn of the year, Rachel Serpentine at the IPCC, we're talking about the end of 2016, start of 2017. John Stoddart is the officer in overall command of Operation Resolve. He says, "Today is a big day for the families. They have fought hard for many years for these new inquests, and today brings an end to this particular part of their journey. My thoughts and those of my team are with the families and the friends. For the past 2 years, my team has supported the coroner and provided him with thousands of documents, witness statements and reports to assist him in conducting these inquests. While completing this task, my team has also been carrying out a criminal investigation." He goes on to say that now that the inquests have concluded, his sole focus is on completing a criminal investigation, which he expects will be finished by the turn of the year. Again, we're being told there that the end of 2016, start of 2017, where the Crown Prosecution Service will be handed files. They will then decide what will happen next. In a statement from the CPS, Sue Hemmings says, she's the head of Special Crime and Counter-Terrorism, "Following the inquest determinations, the CPS team will continue to work closely with Operation Resolve and the IPCC, as in due course, the CPS will formally consider whether any criminal charges should be brought against any individual or corporate body based upon all the available evidence in accordance with the Code for Crown Prosecutors." She said, "We would ask that everyone is mindful of the continuing investigations and the potential for future criminal proceedings when reporting or publicly commenting on the inquest's conclusions." So do bear that in mind when people are asking what happens now. Statements there that say there's already something happening. It's a criminal investigation. It affects police officers. It affects the potential if there is criminal acts through Operation Resolve. So another two investigations have been ongoing, will continue throughout the course of 2016, expecting to draw to an end by the end of this year. There will not be results tomorrow. There could well be results by the end of December, start of January. Obviously, hugely complex legal proceeding here, and a man who's played a key part in the inquest is Michael Mansfield, QC. He's been representing more than 70 of the victims' family, and he's been speaking to our reporter, Roisin Hasty.
So you have been representing several of the families during these new Hillsborough inquests. What for you was the significance of being a part of all of this?
It may seem a difficult question to answer in a sense because it's self-explanatory. I mean, it is the longest hearing in front of a jury. Mind you, at the beginning, I don't know that any of us necessarily knew that. But we did know that it was going to be historic because it was going to be asking a jury to sit for a long time on major issues that have been, as it were, hanging over a lot of people over, you know, 26 years. So there was no way that this was not going to be groundbreaking.
And over the time it's taken, it's been, you know, 2 years now that this inquest has been going on for. What have been the kind of key moments for you?
Well, I think the key moments, one, you know, meeting the families who've been extraordinarily staunch, and their struggle to get to the truth of this matter is an example to everyone. Now, I have represented families in the past, similar sorts of things, Marchioness, Bloody Sunday and so forth, and Stephen Lawrence. So I'm accustomed to it, but here you had a large number. I mean, it was a disaster on a huge scale, massive scale. It's never left them. So the meeting them and feeling the power of their grief and the power of their search for the truth was a moment to be remembered. I think the second moment was something that's unusual in this inquest, which was right at the start. The coroner had a process called pen portraits, in which each family was allowed time to describe the person who died. Now, that's very rare. The problem in the old days, and I've been at this a long, long time, 40 years or more, coroners would marginalise families. They would not quite ignore them, but very close to that. So families would leave inquests feeling that they were just a number and really they had not had their opportunity to speak. This has changed all that. It's happened once before, but not on this scale. So right at the start, for nearly 3 weeks, I think perhaps a bit more, each of the 96 were able to describe the moment that they either learnt or had to go to the ground or whatever it was. And each story is different, and nobody, not a single family, has obviously forgotten that moment.
Michael Mansfield, who's been representing the families, many of the families of the 96 at the Hillsborough inquest for many years now, and his own thoughts on the hugely complex nature of it and the way that the families have acted. Many people have been reacting to what they've been hearing throughout the course of the day. There have been tributes from the world of football and beyond. David Cameron has paid tribute to the tireless bravery of survivors and victims' families in pursuing the truth. In a statement, he said, "Today is a landmark moment in the quest for justice for the 96 Liverpool fans who died on that dreadful day in April 1989. It is also a long overdue day. The bereaved families and survivors of the Hillsborough disaster have had to wait 27 long years for the full facts of what happened, and it is only due to their tireless bravery in pursuing the truth that we arrived at this momentous verdict." These are words of the Prime Minister. "All families and survivors now have official confirmation of what they always knew was the case, that the Liverpool fans were utterly blameless in the disaster that unfolded at Hillsborough." That is a statement as issued by the Prime Minister. Now, there will be a statement tomorrow on the floor of the House of Commons. A statement tomorrow on the floor of the House of Commons. That will come from the Home Secretary, Theresa May. So we stand by for that tomorrow. Also tomorrow, there will be a special commemoration event taking place on the St. George's Hall Plateau. Now, it's due to get underway at 5:45. That's 5:45 in the evening, and it's expected to go on for a couple of hours. There will be speeches, there will be music, there will be opportunity to reflect. If you're in Liverpool City Centre tonight, you will see the signs of truth and justice, which now emerge over the St. George's Hall columns. So that's happening as well tomorrow. A lot of people, as I say, reacting to the information that they have been hearing throughout the course of the day. Lots of statements. If there are any more that emerge, we will bring them to you. Of course, people have been wondering what the FA have made of all this. Of course, questions have been raised about stadium safety, about the policing on the day, about the licensing at the venue and the structure of Hillsborough. In a statement to Radio City Talk, the FA say the FA reaffirms its deep sorrow and regret that these tragic events, which occurred at one of its fixtures, led to the loss of life of 96 football supporters on the 15th of April 1989. The FA's sincere condolences remain with the families and friends of the victims. They have conducted themselves with great dignity throughout these inquests, during which there has been an exhaustive investigation of the horrific circumstances that took place 27 years ago. Ultimately, the inquest stands as a testament to the struggle undertaken by the families so the truth might be brought to light. While much has changed since 1989, the FA and English football in general must continue to recognise, remember and learn from the tragedy. And looking forward, it is important we never forget. Given the ongoing criminal investigations, there are limitations to what we can say. It is in the interest of all concerns that further consideration of the disaster by the relevant authorities must be allowed to take its course. So that is the statement from the FA issued to Radio City Talk off the back of the Hillsborough inquest, returning their verdicts. Unlawful killing is the headline, but so many questions now have to be answered. And they have to be answered now by the authorities, by people in the establishment, and no longer by the families of those who died, and certainly no longer by those who went to that football match, who survived, who travelled to a game and witnessed some terrible things, and for 27 years have been told by people in the media, who've been told by people around the country, that in some way they played a part in the deaths. We now know that's absolutely not the case. If an opposition football fan sings a song, it's to be taken now as a joke. The truth is out. We now know what happened to Hillsborough on the 15th of April, 1989. The behaviour of the supporters was exemplary. It did not contribute to the situation at the Leppings Lane turnstiles. We know that from a legal point of view. We reset the clock now on Hillsborough, and we go again, and we'll continue to report on it here at Radio City Talk. Thanks to the team who've been working throughout the course of the day. We've been on air since 11 a.m. Thanks to Michelle Livesey and producer Lizzie, who've been working on things throughout the course of the afternoon and the morning. David Eason, Adam Phillips and Louisa King, who've been reporting from Warrington as well. Our special thoughts as well with all those who've been on air with us today and those who have been particularly busy today. So we thank Steve Kelly and Margaret Aspinall, Trevor Hicks and Sheila Coleman, Michael Mansfield QC. We thank everybody who's contacted the station over the years, who've been involved in events that have been raising money for the Hillsborough Family Support Group and the Hillsborough Justice Campaign. Thanks to David Conn, the Guardian writer, Eleanor Barlow from The Echo, Tony Barrett at The Times and Andy Bonner from Granada, who've been there every single day, many of them, at the Hillsborough inquest, and passing on that information and telling the truth about what happened on the 15th of April, 1989. The truth is out. It's Radio City Talk.
I just want to say thanks to everybody from Liverpool and the County of Merseyside who've supported the families as a whole. It really has helped us along the way.
I'm so proud of everybody. I'm so grateful to those that fought when I was too young to do so, and I wouldn't have got the answers that I did from my dad, so I'm just so proud of everybody for not backing down.
Anyone who even, you know, bought a Hillsborough badge, a T-shirt, a band, or simply just went and did a cop or whatever and just shouted justice for the 96, that's what's got us through.
It's about the hope that a lot of us, the City of Liverpool and the football community, it's been fantastic, and I just can't thank people enough.
City Talk. Radio City Talk travel update.
With Motorpoint, the car supermarket. View over 500 cars just off Junction 7 on the M62.